Okay, thank you so much, everybody. So I'll do a shorter version of my class because Rabbi Staff, we want him to start on time. And as Rabbi Jay said, this is a continuation or part of our longer series of Rosh Hashanah davening and the two names for God. So let me share my screen real fast. And this is the screen that's not on the source sheet. It's just for the teacher. You'll see why. Okay, our topic is Aleinu. Ready? Once everyone knows it by heart. Listen to this simple question. Aleinu l'shabeach l'Adon HaKol. How would you translate? It's our duty to praise the master of all. And then it's our duty to give him greatness. Then we say, Shelo asanu k'harotzot. He didn't make us like the other nations. Got it? Now, it's our duty to praise, correct? I want everyone to think for a minute. Is the second line, Shelo asanu? In other words, the first line is, it's our duty to praise God. Is this the praise? You understand? Shelo asanu, is this God's praise? Are we praising God that he made us different than the other nations? It's a type of thank you. Thank you for choosing us. It's a type of like modim. We're bowing down and thanking you that you chose us and you made us different than others. That's one possibility. Anyone ever understand it that way? Or is this the reason why it's our duty to praise God? I'm going to repeat that to make sure it's crystal clear. In other words, it's our duty to praise God. Is the second line, the shin here, I'll make it clear. Aleinu, the Shabbat, that's it. This she'lo asanu, right? Is that the praise that he didn't make us like, and we're praising God, oh, you made us different. We're so happy we're different. We're better than everybody, right? Or is the reason why we have to praise God, that's why he chose us. There's the reason why we're different, because unlike other nations, it's our duty to praise God. We're not saying that we're not praising God that you chose us. We're reminding ourselves it's our duty to praise God, and that is why you chose us. Hope that's clear. That difference is fundamental. I call it the difference between racism and Judaism. Meaning that Aleinu is about it's our duty to praise God, and we have to understand that is exactly why God made us different than the other nations. It's not we're thanking God for making us different. Thank you. I'm saying it's our duty, and that's why we're different, because we have a job to do. He chose us to get our job done, and I want to show you that is the underlying theme of Malchiyot, of Rosh Hashanah davening. And to prove it, I just need to open up a Chumash. We'll see. Now, what I'm going to do, we're going to go through the Aleinu prayer, but the phrase, Kegoy HaRotzot U'Mishpachot HaAdamah, I just want to show you where it's coming from. I gave it away here on the source sheet real quick. I should have asked you beforehand. But if you remember chapter 10 in Sefer Bereshit, that's the 70 nations. Remember, it brings Elul Toldot after the flood is over and the covenant of the rainbow. After it's over, it's Elul Toldot Bnei Noach. These are the generations of Noach's sons. After we get to 70 nations, what are we told? Elam Mishpachot Bnei Noach L'Toldotam B'Goyehem Leizan Yifridu HaGoyim Achar Mabul. With humankind, civilization spread out after the flood, to do what? All those nations spread out. Mishpachot Adama, got it? Mishpachot Noach, to their different nations. Those families turned into nations, turned into people, and that was civilization. Of those nations, later on, God chooses one nation, chooses that nation to serve him. And the way we serve that God will be, we'll see, is to make his name great. Now, right after that is the story of Migdal Bavel, which we're all familiar from, about. And what happens in that story? There, man is making a name for himself. Everyone knows the story. I'll just share my screen real fast. A story we all know by heart. If I open up real quickly, Sefer Bereshit. Where are we? Bereshit. There we go. That's in Joshua. We want Bereshit. If you remember, right after, I'm sorry, in chapter 11, right when chapter 10 ended. Remember, how do we spread into nations? Everyone's united. They find a place to gather in a beacon, in the big white plain. That started industrial revolution and make bricks, etc. And the man-made brick replaced the natural stone and some type of slime or cement they made. And now that they have all these building materials and using fire, let's build a city, a tower in the middle. Let's make a name for men. And that theme of Shem Hashem we're going to see is so central to Aleinu. God's not happy because man's using his industry, but not for the ideal purpose of uniting civilization to recognize God and the purpose of life and civilization. Rather, they put man in the center of God in the center, and then God scatters the builders of the tower into many nations, different languages. And then again, we have the, then right afterwards, Ela Todot Shem and the story of Shem. Now, I'm going to give a quick review for those who weren't in the series, because this is a standalone share, of how this all relates to the theme of Malchiot and Aleinu L'Shaveach. My claim is simple and as follows. What's happening in Sefer Bereshit? This is our source sheet from last week in our series. Again, now, as Aleinu, once a year, three times a day, we'll see where it's coming from, is that we broke Sefer Bereshit into two key sections, the universal section, the first 11 chapters, which focuses on all humankind, ending with God being upset with the builders of the Tower of Babel, who make a name for themselves, and then continues with God picking Avraham Avinu to start a nation, and the nation is going to enter a covenant with God, and we're going to show the goal of that nation is to make a name for God, the call and his name. Now, that's why the genealogies of Avraham Avinu, if I go back to the genealogies that we saw before in Sefer Bereshit, for some reason, we don't continue where we left off. Remember, we had Toldot of Adam to Noach and Noach's three sons. We don't continue now Noach to Avraham Avinu. We get Elu Toldot Shem. Avram begins, Avram's history begins with sons of Shem, then we have Arpachshad, etc. And it ends with Terach and Terach's three sons, Avram, Nahor, and Haran, and that leads to the story of Avram Avinu. So what I'm trying to show you is that in this story, in Sefer Bereshit, that starts the life of Avram Avinu, it begins specifically with Shem, which is a really strange name. And what we suggested a very logical reason for Noah calling his son Shem, because he wanted his son Shem to make a name for God. That's why he says, Baruch Hashem Elohei Shem. That's why he blesses God, the God of Shem. We'll return to that theme in a minute. And then, when Avraham Avinu is chosen, what he makes Aliyah, of course. God tells him, you've become a great nation to serve me. Through you, I'll bring blessing to all the nations. And Leah mentioned that pasuk in her class about why we're chosen. And then finally, when Avraham arrives in the land of Israel, the highlight of his journey, he goes to Beit El, he builds a Mizbech, and he calls out in the name of God. And then he'll do that over and over again when he comes back from Egypt. And that's going to be basically the paradigm, the Jewish people, living a life involved with other nations, as Avram was, making a name for God by the way how he behaves and how he talks. Now, I want to show you that theme in Rosh Hashanah Davening. Where's my source sheet? When it comes to Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, here we are. Rosh Hashanah, I'm sorry, right here. In Rosh Hashanah Davening, there's what we call the tic-tac-toe. Sorry, down on the bottom. I have a little, here we go. Tic-tac-toe is a bad name, I hope, but I mean, just the idea is that I'm sure you had a share on this before. There's three sections, Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. This structure is so simple. Every section has an introduction, 10 verses, a concluding poem, and a blessing, and then we sing Benin Bil Shofar, singing Hayom Harat Olam, and Rosh Tzfatenu. I'm assuming you're all familiar. What's important for today's share is the introduction to Malchiot as Aleinu L'Shaveach. Aleinu was written as the introduction to Malchiot. So therefore, to understand Aleinu, you need to understand what Malchiot is, what it means God's kingdom. Or on the flip side, to understand Malchiot, I'm sorry, to understand Aleinu, you need Malchiot, or read Aleinu and you understand what Malchiot is about. And as we all know, I'm sure, I think that was the first year today, the last verse of Malchiot, of the 10 verses, is Shema Yisrael. Now, I didn't hear that class because I was somewhere else, but I'm sure that's what he talked about, right?
That's a little bit, a little, yeah, yeah. He talked about why Shema is a concluding bracha and why it's said differently, why it's not in the concluding, you know, conclusion, but it's part of the upper verses. But anyway.
Okay. So now we'll see it now in the concluding verses. Now, because of that, let's read the Aleinu and see what the point is. Our claim in our class was that Malchiot is not that our understanding that our belief in one God, that Hashem Echad, that's a given. It's not a statement that I believe in monotheism, that there's one God. It's not only that God is everyone's God, it's called Hashem Echad, but we're chosen to serve him. And if I go back to the, now go back in order on my source sheet, the most important source behind Malchiyot is the commitment we made at Har Sinai, which we like to call Matan Torah, which I like to call accepting responsibility. We're not receiving a gift, we're accepting responsibility to be a nation in the service of God. What are we told? God brings us to Mount Sinai after coming out of Egypt. Now are you willing to obey me? Obey my voice. I'm sorry, that didn't make sense. Keep my covenant. You'll be my treasured nation. You'll be for me a kingdom of priests, means a priestly nation representing God, a nation separated in the service of God, and we agree to that. Meaning, accepting the responsibility to be a nation in the service of God, that's going to be the key theme of Malchiyot. Not, I'll give you the analogy by a king. There's a king who can be the king of an entire nation. Not everyone is working for the king. Rather, the king has his advisors, his workers, the people running his kingdom, and then there's the subjects. So in that analogy, we have to understand we are in the service of God. God's Hashem is everyone's God, but he chose us to serve him, which the rabbis call Kabbalat Omach Chaim, accepting the yoke of heaven. Rosh Hashanah is a time of year, or the holiday, where I put an emphasis on that theme. All my prayers are for that theme. It's a theme that's true every day of the year, every day of our life. But like all the holidays, almost every holiday has one core theme or one enduring understanding of Judaism that's important every day of your life. But once a year, I go crazy about it. The classic example we bring is from Passover. Was once a year, I remember the Exodus and why God took us out of Egypt, why he put us into Egypt. I need to remember the Exodus every day because that shapes my day-to-day behavior. Remembering the Exodus reminds me to be kind and sensitive and learning from my trauma. We call that post-traumatic growth, which we need very much today in Israel. We take a difficult experience and we grow from it and learn from it. And therefore, the theme of remembering the Exodus is our collective memory, remembering how we suffered, and that has to shape our behavior, how we treat others, to be kind and compassionate, and learning from how we've suffered, not to do that to others. We're going to make a big deal about it once a year at the Seder or eating matzah for 7 days, but it's sort of a booster shot for our daily memory. In a similar manner, once a year I go crazy about this idea that God's our boss, and on a daily basis, I remember by saying the Shema. It's interesting, when we finish saying the Shema every day, we mention the Exodus, because the way we serve God is by how we treat our fellow men. So let's go back to the Aleinu and see this theme in davening. So here I have the Aleinu in, I copied it, nice and easy. There's the Aleinu, I'm sorry, that's the wrong source sheet. Here we go, two page, combine that one. We have it here. Here we are. Okay, here's the Aleinu. Machiot. Again, it's our duty to praise God. It's our duty to give him greatness. And why is it our duty? That's why we're different than the other nations. That's why we're different. Okay. They bow down too. In other words, they're serving other gods. Okay. But we're serving the one and right and only God, the king of all kings. And he's the God of creation. Remember we talked about in our series, the God of creation, Shem Elokim, is Yud Kevavke. It's the God whose presence is felt. So this is Perak Aleph and Breshit. He's the one who made heaven and earth, okay? But his Shekhinah is from above, it comes down below. He's our God, he's our boss, right? There's no other God. It's true, there's nothing like him. And then we quote this pasuk, V'yadata yom v'ashivata levavecha. Now, anyone know where this pasuk is coming from? It's not where the pasukim ha-machiyot. But just for the fun of it, anyone know where it's coming from? So if you've been paying attention,
the Paranesis in Sefer Devarim, chapter 4.
Very good. Now, what's it about? What's Hayom referring to? So I'm going to stop my share. I have the pasuk. Oh, actually, it's on the source sheet. My mistake. It's right here on the source sheet. Here we are. Here we are. From here. What did God say in Devarim chapter 12? There we go. Okay. Ki tolid banim uvnei banim. They're learning tafka for Tisha B'Av. When you come to land, you can have children. You're bound to go astray. I'm warning you today. you're bound to get lost. If you go astray and follow other gods, I have to punish you. I'll send you away from the land. You won't last a long time on the land. You'll be destroyed. Instead, God's going to scatter you among the nations, etc. And then we go on and on how bad it will be. And then it talks about the tshuva, repentance, you'll come back one day. Now, what did we say at the end? Why am I telling you that? Know that today, and you won't go astray. You're bound to go astray. God will have to punish you. Things will be so bad in exile. You'll have to do tshuva. You'll do tshuva, you'll come back. So instead of going through the whole process of sinning, going through punishment, and returning to God, recognize that today and don't go astray. So it's a preventive warning, because it might happen. Know that ahead of time, and you won't go astray. And therefore, it's a beautiful quote here from the Torah. Now, if you know your Sefer Yeshua, that's what Rachav quotes that pasuk, explaining why she's afraid. No, Rachav quotes that pasuk when she tells the spies that they're why they're scared of them. And that's why Chazal has custom that Aleinu was written from the time of Yeshua. Now, historically, Aleinu was written for Rosh Hashanah davening. And let's go back now to the verses. Here we go. In our regular davening, what do we have? The Alkeinu Kabbalah. And we did all this before. Okay. Oh, wrong source sheet again. Here we are. Okay. Now, what's our hope? Our hope is that soon we'll see your greatness, etc., to get rid of idol worship from the land. There'll be get rid of other idol worship. We're hoping that all humankind, all civilization, will recognize your name. Your name being God's name, Yud Kevav Kei, his presence is felt, and he expects you to behave properly. We have to be God's model nation to understand it's through our behavior and our reward and punishment for good behavior and bad behavior that becomes a model for other nations to learn from of how God expects other people to behave. We're chosen to be God's model nation. Therefore, it's our duty to praise God. And that's why we're chosen. And we have this message of this one God who created everything, who continues to watch over his creation and rewards and punishes based on our deeds and has expectations from humankind. But our hope is that through our behavior, it will get rid of idol worship and lead all people not to be Jewish, but to be what's called ethical monotheists, to believe in one God and act ethically. They can argue what's ethical. Now, that's a different issue. But wanting to be good, and that will get rid of evil, and all nations will recognize that you're the one people should bow down to and serve. Again, everyone has to serve God in their day-to-day behavior. We're a nation chosen to be God's model nation. That's the underlying thing. That's the introduction to Malchiyot. And then we start quoting Psukim at the end, Kakadu B'Torah Techa, and we start from Hashem Yimloch L'Amvet, from Kriyat Yam Suf, etc. Then we quote three Psukim from Chumash, three Psukim from Navi, and three Psukim from Tilim, which we don't have time to quote them all because we have to finish soon. And then the final Pasuk, number 10, is Uvtat Chutuv Lemor Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now, I want to go to the conclusion of Malchiyot to see and show you everything we're talking about. So I have that up front in a nicer format. Let's look at the conclusion of Malchiyot and how Shmuel Nesrei works on Chag. My picture's over here. Here we go. Now, the introduction to all Yom Tov davenings is everything I just told you about. How's our prayer begin? Recognizing you chose us from all the nations. Okay? You chose us out of love. You wanted us. You elevate us from all the nations by giving us, making us, you separate us by giving us commandments to keep. But the reason you brought us closer to serve you, your name, your reputation is riding on our behavior. And therefore, if I'm looking for the introduction, a reminder of all the holidays, what we're about as a nation, it's not recognizing that we are chosen. It's not, we're not saying thank you for choosing us, making us better than everyone. No, it's recognizing we're chosen for a purpose, and our chosenness has tremendous responsibility. That's a covenant in Sinai. And the understanding that we're chosen to serve God, we serve God by how we behave and how we act. And the way God punishes us for bad behavior and rewards us for good behavior, if people see that correlation and possibly understand there's a causation between them, that in itself can sanctify God and lead other nations to behave properly. God doesn't promise it's going to work, but it's our eternal goal. So that's the introduction, then every holiday with its theme. The Machyot conclusion that we talk about in our davening is as follows. The classic Elokeinu v'Kabotenu. Our first prayer is God should be king over everyone. In other words, he's our boss, but he's everyone's king. So we want God's kingdom to be recognized by everyone, as opposed to people serving other gods. V'nasei kol ha'aretz v'karecha, etc. All your glory should be known. Your glory should be known by all living things. You see the universal side of it. But my point was, Bereshit begins with universalism. In light of that, God picks a nation. So this idea of God cares about all humankind and wants everyone to be good is the first point we're making in Malchiyot. We want everyone to recognize that. And then we say as follows. Let me get my marker here. Let's see if this is it. We want to highlight it. It's good. Every living, everything working, moving, should know that you're the one causing people to move. Everything created should know that you are its creator. Knows every living thing, every person should recognize there's one God who made man. Every living person should say, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. What's that mean, Hashem Elokei Yisrael? Hashem, the God of Israel, meaning Yudkei Vavkei, the God that Israel talks about, the God that we're making a name for. How do we make a name for God? Our prayers, we talk about God all the time. Are talking about God, making his name great. That's the Kaddish. Remember, we're hoping that God's name become greater and greater. We accomplish that through our behavior and through our prayers. So we're hoping that the God that we're talking about, the God that's associated with the Jewish people, everyone should recognize that he's everyone's God. That's Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. The example I'd like to bring is from Shmuel Esrei. We begin, Baruch Hashem Elokei Abraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. What does it mean he's the God of Avram? Is that the God who took care of Avram Avinu, or is that the God who Avram Avinu talked about? The God of Yitzchak, the God that Yitzchak talked about, or the God that Yitzchak prayed to? So if you follow Chumash, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they all talked about God publicly. Remember, they were Korei B'Shem Hashem. They made a name for God in their day-to-day behavior. And that's that theme of calling out in God's name. And therefore, and we try to explain, that's why Noah called his son Shem. Remember, he says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem. He thanks God, the God of Shem, meaning Shem tried to make a name for God. And when Noah is giving a blessing to his children, and then later a curse, he says, who should give this blessing and curse? A God? Who's God? The God of Shem, meaning the God that Shem talks about. In a similar manner, we want all nations to recognize God, and we can facilitate that through our behavior and our relationship with God. Remembering that idea is core theme of Malchiyot. Every day we have to remember. Rosh Hashanah, we go crazy about it. By blowing shofar, and by remembering that God judges everybody. Now, how does that happen? Kadshenu b'mitzvotecha. Make us, you know, it's sanctify us or by giving us these mitzvot to keep. Our portion should be keeping your instructions, your Torah. Reward us with wealth and prosperity. Okay? We should be happy when you come and save us when we're worthy. And here's the most, this is the tefillah of davening, which we don't ask for anything specific. We're asking, we want to be good workers. Therefore, cleanse our hearts so that we can serve you with truth. Because you're the God of truth and your words are true and they're forever. And then we bless God, the King of the whole land, who separates Israel in this day to remember that as we don't remember to blow shofar, we blow shofar to remember that God's judging us based on our behavior. So this is the theme of Machiyot begins with the Aleinu L'Shaveach. We're making that opening statement. It's our duty to praise God, and that's why we're different. And that's how we're different than other nations. But our hope is that through our behavior, all nations will come and recognize God. So if I take the opening section of not just Rosh Hashanah davening, all Yom Tov davening, Atavachartanu, that God chose us to serve him, and God's name is resting on us, that goes back to our motto that we stand in front of God not as consumers, but rather as employees. And when we pray, we're actually arguing with God or stating our case in front of God why we deserve a good judgment. Now, in that prayer, if we understand why we're chosen and show God we understand our purpose and we want to serve him properly and we're asking him, help us serve you in the best way possible, make us true and not phony, help us serve you the best way possible. That gives God a good reason to bless us with prosperity and bless us with peace so we can get our job done. So that's the first part of Bacha. Now we'll go to the psukim that we quote. Here we are in the okay. The first, the three psukim we put from Chumash are what? Are Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Va'ed. And then we have the psukim from Bilam, Lo Yitavam B'Yaakov, and then by Yishur Melech from Parshat Vezino, that Hashem, Yishur is another name for Am Yisrael, God's becomes king in Israel when everyone gathers together, all the tribes that gather together and do their job properly. Then we quote again from Nevim, and then we quote from Ketuvim. Now, what I want to end with is, where are we? Yeah, one other page. This is thanks to Benny Gesundheit. Here we go. He has a nice, I put it on the source sheet that you have. He made a beautiful table to show you, but I showed you in the smaller version. Machyot Zichron and Shofrot. Every section has an introduction. This Atavrachtan Bikol Amim was to all davening, and then Aleinu is the introduction to Machyot. Zichronot is remembering that God judges us based on our behavior, and we go back to the flood story. We start with the flood story and God's covenant with Noah. And then remember Har Sinai and the shofar at Har Sinai. With shofrot, we blow shofar to wake ourselves up to remember that God judges us based on our behavior. Then we have all the psukim, and then each one has the concluding prayer. Now, what I want to conclude with is the verses in, where's my, let me stop here for a second. Just check with any questions in the chat. That's fine. Okay. How about every day? So the original custom of Aleinu started, they think, takes back to the third century to the, it's already in the time of the, Amoraim. It's part of Rosh Hashanah davening. The custom to say it every day, people bring back to the 11th century, 12th century. Rambam doesn't have it in his Siddur, in his day-to-day tefillot, but by the time Machzor Vitri does have it, that's like a little bit after Rashi. But sometime in Ashkenaz, 12th, 13th century, it caught on. By the time you get to the Ari says everyone should say it, and Sfarim say it already, as well as Ashkenazim. And then since the 15th, 1600s, basically, we say it every day. What the cause of it was, every couple hundred years, people add something extra to davening, which makes sense, but it's a very meaningful addition because it matches the theme of Malchiyot that what's a year holiday about it, but the day-to-day memory has to be reinforced every single day and every time we daven. The last part I wanted to do, where are we back to the source sheet, is, here we are. The Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva, now how this relates to what we're hoping for. Rambam says as follows: Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet. Aval pi shkiat shofar b'rosh Hashanah gzirat hakatuv. Even though blowing shofar, it says Zichron Torah, blow shofar. That when you read Chumash, it doesn't say anything about doing tshuva at all. Nevertheless, there's a hint to it. The Rambam says. It's supposed to, it's people sleeping, get up from your sleep. Those who are falling up, snoozing away, wake up from your slumber. Okay. Chapsu masechem, learn your ways. Return in tshuva and zichru b'chem, remember your creator. Okay. Hebitu l'nafshotechem, beitibu darchem amalalechem, v'yazov ko'achad b'chem, darko haram achshavto. Now, the Rambam is using the word zichru, remember your, zichron torah, it's a yom zikaron, to remember your creator, that he judges you. But where's this coming from? What's the Rambam quoting here? Beitibu darchechem amalalechem. Improve your ways and fix your ways and your thoughts. This is, he's clearly quoting Yirmiyahu chapter 7. Let me stop this year and go to Yirmiyahu real quick. And we'll close this year with that. I promise to finish by 7. If we open up Yirmiyahu chapter 7, are we? Here we are. We don't want this. We want Yirmiyahu. Remember he said, fixing your ways. Yirmiyahu says as follows in chapter 7. God tells Yirmiyahu, stand at the gates of the Beit HaMikdash. Stand outside the main shul, outside the temple in Jerusalem, right before the temple is about to be destroyed by the Babylonians. They can still do repentance. Okay? Call this out listen to the word of God. All the people coming to daven, to say to them, to pray to God, save us from the Babylonians. Everyone's davening. Yirmiyahu tells them as follows, call Hashem Tzvot. That's what the Rambam was quoting. Fix your behavior and your plans. So it's Darchachem is what you're doing, Malachem is what you're planning on doing. And then you can dwell in this land. Don't listen to the words of what he calls the false prophets. The other rabbis were telling the people, it's all about coming to pray. Echal Hashem, Echal Hashem. He's making fun of them. They're saying, how do you save yourself from the Babylonians? Simply pray more, bring more sacrifices to the temple. Just come and daven, and that will do it. That's important, but that's not enough. Ki meitivu tativu darchachem, he repeats that phrase again. Imasu tasu mishpat ben ishu ben ra'eu, do justice and kindness and justice one among the other. Taking care of the stranger, the orphan, the widow. Don't oppress them. Don't let innocent blood be killed. Care about human life. Don't follow the other gods. Then vishikanti etchem b'makom hazeh. Then the Shekhinah can be with you. Then you can stay in the land and you can live there. You're following the words of the false prophets. How can you go against the Ten Commandments, stealing, murder, adultery, all the things of the second half of the Ten Commandments, etc. And then you come to the Beit HaMikdash and come and stand in front of me to get away with that? Because this house looks like a hangout for criminals. And my name is associated with it. And because I'm saying, it says, if you want a proof, go to my house in Shiloh, which was destroyed because of bad behavior, to show you that sacrifice of love is not enough. It's about your behavior. You come to pray to remember how to behave, but thinking that just saying prayers will cause God to forgive you, that's clearly not enough. That for the Rambam is saying, we blow shofar to remember. In Rosh Hashanah, we're gathering together to remember not just that God's king and we're his people, but we have a job to do as his people. And the way we act as a people, the way we talk as a people, our behavior as a whole, that gives God a reason to reward us with a good outcome. Remembering that idea is just so important every day of our life. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, that's the key thing. Remembering why you're chosen, not that you're chosen, but why you're chosen, is going to be the key theme of all Rosh Hashanah davening. And afterwards, after whatever our judgment is, God tells us in Yom Kippur that you if you learn from your mistakes, God's willing to forgive you. And even though you might deserve a bad punishment, if he sees commitment, we can learn from our mistakes and grow from our mistakes, then that gives God a reason to forgive us and give us a better year. So that idea is so important, especially this year. There's a lot of work we have to do, a lot of national tshuva to do. What we're doing wrong, that's a great argument. And Rabbi Stav hopefully will talk about that in his next class. But to know that we need to improve our behavior, we have to learn from our mistakes and try to work together better and discuss maturely how we can be better people. But not playing that Sinat Chinam game, but rather trying our best to work together to do good, focusing on the good things. There's been a lot of tremendous good in Chesed Israel's done. But at the same time, there's a lot of things we can work on to improve on. So Rosh Hashanah davening has to be something transformative, that not just praying God do us a favor, saying magic words, but understand what prayer is about. That should lead to better behavior. Okay, Rabbi?
Thank you. I think you hit the challenge, the nail on the head. That's the challenge, that everybody thinks a different thing we have to do to improve. Different is okay. It's when they're the opposites of what we have to do to improve. That's the real problem. So that's the challenge. And that's the challenge, I guess, of leadership. And you're right. I'm not sure Rav Stav is going to be talking about the Satan. I don't know exactly, but Rav Stav is, of course, one of our leaders. We can talk to him about that. It's really an honor that he will be speaking for us. We have scheduled in a 15-minute break. I don't know. We'll do 10, 12 minutes, and we'll start, let's say, at 12:12, please God. So we'll take an 11-minute break or so, and you can get a cup of coffee. And I want to thank again Carol Damon and the Almonds for their sponsorship of this program. Everybody can feel free to join them, coffee, for many of our future programs. And thank you. And please God, we'll put it up now. We're going to end now. I'll send the end of the day. We have our schedule. Please God, 2 weeks from today on Tzom Gedalia, it's a fast day. We're going to do Yom Iyun and Yom Kippur, which will have 7 speakers. That'll be next October 6th, and we'll send the details out in a few minutes. Okay, everybody, go get a cup of coffee. Can't do that on October 6th, but you can do that now, and we'll come back in 10 minutes or so. Thank you very much.